Log Talk Radio.
And Master Doris Smith, the host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio, is Evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host, Pastor Doris Smith out of Miami, Florida. As always, we are excited and happy to have you tune in on today's episode. Let us begin with our opening prayer by our co-host.
Father, we just thank you today, and we praise you. We lift you up, magnify your holy name. Lord, we come to you today in the beauty and the blessings of this brand new day, where you have once more again allowed us to live, to breathe, and have the very fiber of our being. Lord, we humbly tell you thank you. I thank you today, Lord, for all that you have in store, for even the listeners that are connected. We thank God for our speaker who will be sharing today as he pour into the world today from Facing Your Fears radio talk show, where you have blessed the visionary, Evangelist Chapman, to open up this line. We do pray today that all in tune will not only receive, but will richly be blessed by the information shared. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Listeners, we have another awesome show prepared for you on today with our special guest that's in the studio with us. We'll be bringing him on shortly, and that's none other than Mr. John Batneris. Yes, we're so very excited and happy to have him on today's show. But remember, listeners, you too can tune in on this awesome conversation on today just by pressing that number one on your phone if you have any comments, questions. I just want to share your thoughts and your experience on today's topic. Without further ado, we're now bringing to the studio live with us our guest for today, none other than Mr. John Batneris. Good afternoon, Mr. Batneris. Batneris, how are you today?
Good, I'm fine, Evangelist Norman Chapman and your co-host. I'd like to say hello to you guys. I am John Batneris, a native New Orleanian. I attend St. Maria Goretti Church, and I also attended Joseph S. Clark High School and attended Southern University. I'm former state representative.
God bless you. God bless you. And before we bring our guest back to do his presentation, our topic for today is economic development, mental health in New Orleans East. And our co-host now will give you a description and a detailing what our guest will be talking about. And listen, today we are talking about changes, economic development, small businesses, and we're also talking about the communities and various and much, much more as our guest will be presenting his presentation after the co-host to a detailed message, detail his topic for today.
Thank you.
The co-host
will now do the detailed topic for our topic for today. Economic development and mental health in New Orleans East. Facing Your Fears radio talk show with host Evangelist Norma Chapman, along with our co-host, are happy to have our special guest on today. Today's topic is economic development and mental health in New Orleans East. He states that as a former state representative, he is all too familiar with the challenges of our city has been facing. Empty promises, crumbling roads, poor drainage, no economic development, too much more. Not only does he have the proven track record to create real changes in New Orleans, but he also has the relationship throughout the city and the state. One of his main priorities is economic development, with emphasis on small businesses and the entrepreneurship. He also wants to work city leaders to upgrade sewage and water systems and the crumbling infrastructure. Lastly, he wants to get increased mental and behavior health resources in our community. He knows the residents, veterans, and families has been through a lot over the years and wants to promise mental health for all. So stay tuned in, listeners, as we bring our guests into the studio on today, none other than former Senator, Representative Mr. John Batnary. Good afternoon once again, Mr. Batnary. At this time, you may begin your presentation. And remember, listeners, press that number one if you have any comments, questions, just want to share your thoughts for today. Mr. Batnary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been through the state of Louisiana, and I've worked with the Veterans Association. I also help provide alternatives for incarceration for veterans with mental health problems. We have a lot of veterans who just have mental health problems, and they need help, and they can't get it when they get home. And that's really nothing new, because that goes back to World War II. When my veterans come home, they're all forgotten about. We've sent them out to be trained killers, and watching their comrades being killed affects them mentally when they come back home. So we need to have more programs, more instituted programs for the veterans. And I'm so glad I was able to pass the law to give them mental health and alternatives to incarceration.
You can continue.
I also think that the infrastructure and sewage drainage, we got to do something about that. Sewage and water board is really not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, we have an antiquated system that goes back 100 years. We have 100-year-old pipes still underneath the ground. We have 20 amps power when we should have 60 amps to turn the turbines. We need 60-amp turbines I'm working on trying to find ways to get the money to pay for that, because we spent in the last administration $1 million on a broken turbine. That we could have bought one for less than that. We're spending money ridiculously, and we need to go over this budget and look at ways that we can save. I also think that economic development and good-paying jobs, because we need jobs that pay a living wage. $15 an hour is okay, but $20 an hour is what we need. A loaf of bread when I was a kid cost about 99 cents. Today, you're paying $3 for a loaf of bread. You know, we have families and poorly families still with food stamps. Poverty breeds crime, and if we don't stop the poverty, we'll never get rid of the crime. And that's one of my objectives to alternative to repair that. And it also, I mean, we need to prepare our roads, like I said, the infrastructure with the flooding. And I've always been a New Orleanian to make it safer for our families and increasing policing and creating community crime prevention programs. We need to hit that back again. Have police in the neighborhood that we know. I used to know the policemen who walked the beat in my neighborhood, shook their hands. They're not going to. If we got in trouble, you know, an alternative for us, they would bring us to our parents, and rather than juvenile bureau. And we don't have those type of police anymore, and our juvenile crime has gotten out of hand. We used to have Melanie Boys Home. We used to have LaFawn Boys Home when a parent couldn't take care of their kid. We don't have that anymore. But we need to do something to curb that juvenile crime. My thing, especially in New Orleans East, is that these carjackings and these breaking in cars, there's one little guy who's been arrested 61 times breaking in cars. Now, my alternative to that is if you break in somebody's car, you need to go to jail. You need to pay that $500 deductible that person got to pay to get their broken glass and their car fixed. And until you can pay that or your parents can pay that, you stay locked up. You cannot, if you don't do the crime, don't do the time. You can do the time if you do the crime. Let's get this back in the parents' hands. And by the parent being able to pay that $500, that'll make them think to keep their eye on that kid at 2 in the morning. They got a handcuff to the bed to keep him inside from breaking in people's cars. That's all I got for you right now. Hello? Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we're in the studio. Is the co-host still in the studio? I don't know whether the co-host
yes,
still
Andrew, in the studio. Yes, I am here in the studio.
But, okay,
yes.
Mr. Bagnaris, you can continue your a couple more minutes on your presentation, and we'll come forth with you with some questions, okay?
Okay. On the other side of that, I will. I will work with the superintendents of police departments and get more officers on the street and work with the neighborhood associations to form neighborhood watches to reduce the crime. I'm laser focused on economic development. That brings in small business and entrepreneurship. And I, not only will I bring in small business, but I would help them once they get here to get the resources they need to be successful. I won't just let them come and not try to help them succeed. And finally, you know, I want to pass an upgrade for the sewage and water bus system, and I want to address the crumbling infrastructure and fix everything that I can to help businesses and clean up New Orleans East, because I'm tired of it being treated like a third world country.
All right, there you have it, listeners. You're still tuned in to Facing the Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Our topic for today is economic development and mental health in New Orleans East. And we have in the studio with us live former senator representative, a state representative, Mr. John Bagnaris. And we have some questions for Mr. Bagnaris on today. And I'm going to ask him a question now, and probably my co-host will have some for him later. But Mr. Bagnaris, one of the questions I want to ask you, we all know that there are a lack of businesses and opportunities in the city, specifically in the New Orleans East. What are your plans for economic development? What are your visions for the economic development for this area or the city?
Well, my plans, and if I'm elected, if I'm put in charge of anything in New Orleans East, I would like to have the Troy Henry Bayou Phoenix Project come to Jazzland and become a reality. We need that kind of economic development here, and with that economic development, other businesses will come. My problem is getting restaurants here. I'm working every day trying to get a sit-down restaurant like a Zia's or Outback or something like that. We have a New Orleans hamburger seafood, but nothing comparable to what I just said. A Zia's or Outback or somewhere a family can go and sit and have a good time. And the Restaurant Association and the people that are in charge of that, I talk to them, and they say that, oh, y'all don't have enough disposable income. Well, that's not true. A third of the people in New Orleans East make over $60,000 a year. Well, y'all have a little too much crime. Well, they have crime in the French Quarters, and y'all still got 300 restaurants there. They have all kind of excuses, but they won't come. I've even had black entrepreneurs who own a Chili's or Applebee's, and they won't come. I mean, these are black people who won't put a business in New Orleans. Why is that? It's dirty. It's not clean. It's being run not being run correctly. So we need somebody who can go in, talk to these people, and bring them to the table. And that I am that person.
Well, I'm rebutting now on that answer. Do you think a lot of the reasons why New Orleans East hasn't come back, Katrina, you know, has done a lot of damage in the city of New Orleans, and, you know, they had to bring the whole city back. So, you know, I think that I lived in New Orleans East since 1977, and we did have a lot of shopping centers out here and a lot of businesses out here. Walmart, one of them, before they built the one on Bullitt. And, you know, it was up and running. So after Katrina, a lot of businesses were closed because they were suffering. And you have the COVID-19 that kicked in to where a lot of businesses had to close because of the pandemic. So would you take that into consideration as well?
I'm not taking nothing like that into consideration. Katrina did hurt us. Katrina's 15 years gone. We have to look at what the open land that we have that's cheap, that people won't come in and buy and build. The other part of that is we need to attract businesses that can grow here. And like I say, that the restaurant people who I talk to, the Restaurant Association, they say that we don't have enough viable income to support a business. But that's not true. And why is St. Bernard Parish so far ahead of New Orleans East, and we're just adjacent to them? Why is Uptown South Claiborne in that area with Louisiana Avenue to Jackson Avenue, why is that built back since Katrina and businesses? Mm-hmm. Because they go there and they support them. We need to do better. You know, Mitch Landrieu was supposed to put the Costco's out here in the East. They didn't want New Orleans East to survive. They don't want it to come back. You know why? Because it's over 75,000 black people out here, and that's a problem
mm-hmm.
for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if we'd have built the Costco's, and I'm adamant in saying, build it and they will come, other businesses would have came here, and we wouldn't have to worry about building them more.
Sustainable. The second next question I have for you is, there has been an increase in carjackings in the city. What are your thoughts on how we can address this and crime in general throughout the community?
We know we lack police as far as the police department. You know, we have 800 police or 900 at the most, and the criminals know that. So we need 1,400, 1,600. Is the number that we used to have. But we need 2,000, but nobody wants to be a policeman anymore. So I get back to my crime prevention. My crime prevention for all these carjackers and these juveniles is to put them in. There's a revolving door for juveniles, and they know how to beat the system. Once they get in, if they carjack or break in your car right now, today, at this time, this time tomorrow, they will be out of jail because the judges cannot keep them. They have no, it's overcrowded. And the girls are just as bad as the boys now. Okay, so before when I was a young man, it was more young boys. Now it's girls and boys. So we have to reach our children some way. We lost the village. The village got burned down after we had integration. where no more raising the children. The village don't raise the children anymore. In fact, the children are calling the police on you now for whipping them.
Uh-huh.
But I think that we have to get back to the village thing, and we have to bring our young kids back to Jesus. They don't know the repercussions of what they're doing when they do it. They don't know that when they shoot that person, that they're not only hurting that victim's family, they're hurting their family too, because their victim's family's got to bury him, and his family's got to put up with him being in jail.
Very well said. The third question I have for you is, mental health is something that is finally getting increased awareness and acceptance. What are your thoughts on how mental health resources can help residents?
Mental health is a real problem because we don't have no more mental health facilities. We don't have Bobby Jindal came in, and he was head of DHH, and he closed everything down as far as for mental patients. Now, what we have to do is go back to the state, get the money, open more facilities, and help the mental disadvantaged person that's out here, because they don't need to be in jail. They don't need to be incarcerated. They need help. You know, as I was saying, the veterans with PTSD and all of that, they need help. You know, they're out on the corners begging for money. They're out and don't have a place to live. You know, all of this is a function of a bad system, and we need to turn this system around, and that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. You are still tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, Pastor Doy Smith. And listeners, today's topic is economic development and mental health in New Orleans East. And our guest on today, he's bringing forth some changes, that his vision of some changes that can be done in this area of the city of New Orleans. Talking about changes to the economic development, small businesses in our community. I will yield now and ask my co-host if she has any questions for our guest.
Yes, good evening, Evangelist. Thank you so much, and greetings to Senator Bagnus. As I was sitting here just listening, I would like to say, and I heard you share basically on part of what I want to expound on, was the rebuilding after Katrina. And as he said, it's been, of course, 15, 16 years after that. And my question would be, what do you think the problem is when it comes to, like you were saying, Senator Bagnus, that there are areas surrounding the New Orleans area that are seeming to rebuild and seeming to prosper and progress? What do you think the problem is that those areas, maybe 5 to 10 miles north, south, east, or west, are not prospering, are not rebuilding?
Really, that's a great question. I have no real answer for that, because there is no real answer. This is a problem of some systemic racism, and we need help in the East. We need to push the East forward. We still have crumbling housing that hasn't been repaired. And my thing about the housing situation, because housing is getting out of hand. You can't even pay your. Some people can't even pay their rent now because it's so high, $900 to $1,000 a month, and you're not buying a house. You rent an apartment. Now, my thing is, I want to come in with a program with a 3% loan to first-time home buyers to buy these damaged properties still 15 years from Katrina that's out here, and give it to the first-time home buyer at a cheap rate, and have them put it back into commerce. That's the only way we're going to get some, you know, get things done here. And the housing market is booming right now. You know, you put a house on sale today, it's gone tomorrow. So if you could get a house or get a piece of property that you can restructure and get a construction loan, that's another problem, getting a construction loan to put the house back together.
Okay.
Do you think that would be, I heard you say you would look at doing like a 3% loan, and as I'm listening to that, what would there be some way to measure the homes that they're getting for the first-time home buyers where they are, the 3% would really be a beneficial to them to really completing all the repairs that may be needed for that home? Or will they find themselves getting that loan and still finding that they can't really fix the home up and it be, you know, livable for them without becoming a financial burden?
But that's where the reconstruction loan comes into play with the banks. You know, we can't get it. My people can't get a good home on loan. That's me for real. We have people come from Michigan, Illinois, New York, and they come here, they buy in Treme, they buy in different parts of the city, and those loans that they're getting, $300,000, $400,000, $600,000, we can't get it. They turn us down and have the same kind of credit. I mean, the banking industry has to change for us to do the business that we need to do. And that's part of when I get in. That's part of my thing. When I go to a bank, y'all have to give us something for us depositing our money in your bank.
Hello? Coles, are you still with us in the studio?
Yes, I am. I'm asking, I'm here. I'm asking him a third question that I had. He's answered the other one. The third question that I had was, what would be your recommendation for the lack of support for individuals that are dealing with mental health? I heard you say a lot of the places, facilities have been closed down. People are basically out on the street, and a lot of them you find they have mental issues. They're panhandling. They're doing quite a bit, not just in New Orleans. Throughout other states, the same thing is happening
in certain
areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, throughout the country it's happening.
So, we have to open up mental health. We have to open up mental health hospitals. Okay, we have to do the things. Charity hospital they used to call it the third floor, where they used to keep crazy people. We need to have a floor in every hospital with mental health capabilities and getting them help that they need. We got families taking in family, brothers and sisters taking in brothers because they got mental health problems, where they're living in assisted living housing, paying the assisted living people out there Social Security or whatever check and taking their money and not giving them no help. So now I had a friend of mine go get her brother and bring him home because they were taking good care of him. We have to get a place where we're taking good care of those mental patients and not just feeding them and letting them go to sleep and feeding them pills all day, every day.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much, Senator Bagnus. And I do pray that you would do well as the door open for opportunities for you to go out and make these changes. They're so much needed, not only in New Orleans, but here throughout the country. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I do have some concerns about mental health. All mental health people that have a mental health issue are not crazy. Some people are going through mental statuses because of the depression. They can, you know, and during the time of the pandemic, all over the world, people are stressed out because of the living environment. And you know, everybody that needs mental attention is not crazy. So we do need more facilities open.
That's right.
Where they
Evangelist Chapman, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that you have to be crazy to go to the third floor. I know that stress brings mental capacity onto you. And it's just like I was telling you about with the veterans. You know, you be with a veteran, you've been to Iraq or you've been to Vietnam, and today you're talking to your friend or your comrade right next to you, and then the next day his leg is over here, his arm is over here, his torso is not to be found. That's mentally stressed on you because you just was talking to that person yesterday, and you still have to go and do your job as an army, a person in the army, where they have trained you to be a killer.
Right. But what I'm saying, on that note, another note I'm saying, that due to the pandemic, we have more people that's in need of mental health based on they being stressed out, and you have children now. Their life has changed from where they were normally living, that has our children stressed out and unhappy. So we're going to be dealing with more issues than just veterans and people who was automatically needing they was taking medication for some, what you call it, SP, what the name of it is. It's not functional. You know, the ones that come from the service, they have this mental illness.
PTSD, post-stroke.
Yeah. I'm trying to say is people that, like you said in the beginning, they cannot pay their rent, food issue.
PTSD.
The insurance that they had, they weren't able to keep their insurance up. Some had transportation, they had to turn their cars in because they couldn't afford to pay the car note. So what I'm saying is this is more people now that's going to be in need of a mental health doctors and facilities. They're going to need to open up more in order to address all of these issues, not just in the city of New Orleans, but around the world because of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of issues that's going on. So that's the PTSD that I was talking about.
PTSD.
Our veterans deal with. But they had these issues before the pandemic. So just think about it. They're dealing with that before the pandemic, and the pandemic kicked in. That means that they're in double jeopardy. And ones who have never dealt with PTSD, they now, they have probably has need some medical treatment of that. But we're going to move on because it's getting late in the show, and I do have two more questions for you, Mr. Bagnaris. And I do understand your concerns about mental health because that's an issue that's going to really, really be an issue. But my concern is so many people that never had to take pills or get treatments for mental anxiety, for stress, now they have to be treated for it. You know, and then some didn't have insurance to even go to the doctor. You know, the government is being overwhelmed, people filling out, you know, applications in the need of health insurance, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, and these people, some people was working, and their jobs had insurance that would cover them, you know, for that type of illness. But we're going to move on.
No.
And my question for you is, what are your plans to address the blight in the community?
The blight?
Yeah.
The blight in the community, as I said, we have to try to get low-interest loans for first-time homebuyers. Young people who are trying to make it, who have good jobs, who can afford to buy a house, should get a low-interest loan with a construction loan attached to it. If you buy this piece of property and put it back into commerce, we're going to give you enough money to fix it up and put it in use again. That's the only way we're going to get out of all of this blighted property. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to be a program that we have to bring in and screen the people because, you know, they some of them just don't know how to go about buying a house. So we have to teach them how to go through the steps A, B, and C to get to where you want to be in D. And that's the only way we're going to fight our way out of this.
Now, I'm thinking at this point, with the jobs being closed and the city just a couple of months ago opened back up for the little jobs like the people that couldn't afford a house, or most people that already have their homes had jobs and their jobs are secured. But what I'm thinking about here is the ones that cannot pay their rent because they are not working. So how are they going to afford to buy a house? And the program, I understand,
well,
the HUB or the housing authorities, they can't even put in applications, but there are programs where housing, you can go through and get them. Sir, I'm just trying to rebut on what you just said, okay? Now, that's the problem, that's the issue right there with housing here in the state of Louisiana. You know, that's a whole lot of issues. You know, what I'm thinking that, you know, first of all, the jobs got to open back up. Many other things has to be available for them before they could afford housing because, as you were saying, there's, you know, our families are suffering from, as I was saying earlier, from the pandemic. So buying a house without a job, you know, is a serious issue at this time. You know, that's
Evangelist Chapman, we have people out here paying $1,300 and $1,500 a month rent if you buy a house. Okay,
right.
That's my thing. I mean, if you're paying that kind of money, that's a house note. You're paying somebody else's house note. The other part of that is, at the end of the month, when unemployment runs out, everybody thinks when unemployment runs out, everybody will be running to get a job. That's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth of the matter is that people who've been home for a year through this pandemic have found jobs online, that they are working from home now. And they're not looking to go back into the workplace where they used to be because they found a better way to make some money. Now, I don't understand how people who can pay $1,500, $1,800 a month rent cannot go into a bank and make a loan, especially if they've been paying that for 5 years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, it's the banking industry we got to tackle, and we got to take all our money out and let the banking industry collapse. But it ain't going to collapse, but I'm just saying. If we got to go in as black people and take our money out because you're not giving us the loans we need, we have to find a way to get financing for these people. It's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, they might have bad credit. They might have a 420 credit rating, but they're paying $1,500 every month.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get that in your mind? That's a lot of money. In 10 months, that's $15,000 they'd have paid.
Yes, I'll agree with you on that.
So we have to do better. We have to do better in finding financing. And that would be one of my things. I've got a lot of real estate brokers that are a friend of mine, and I would find a way to get it done.
Part taken. We do have a caller, Mr. Bagnaris. I'm going to bring that call in. Our code 225, last four digits of 6010. I'm going to bring them live into the studio at the time. Good afternoon, caller. How are you?
I'm surprised Auntie threw it off her sense like that to tell us something.
I can't hear you, caller. Caller 225. 6010, you are live in the studio at this time. All right. They're not saying anything. I don't know where that caller is from. But they had crested up.
225 is Baton Rouge,
area code. Yeah. Well, I'll go back to them later. But I have the last final question I have for you. How can education efforts be improved through the community, and what resources are needed?
The only way we're going to get through educating our children properly is to get rid of the charter school system. Charter schools hurt our children. You're busing children from New Orleans East to across the river from an F school to a D school or from a D school to an F school, and they get up at 5 in the morning to catch a bus to bring them back home at 6 and 7 in the evening. We're the only city in the country that's totally chartered. That is not acceptable for me, and it's not acceptable for the people that our kids are in charter school. I think before Katrina, I don't think we had an F school, and the only reason why we have them is because That's what the charter school system moves the scale up and down to keep it like it is. Our children are not bad. Our children, we, like I said, the village used to raise us because we walked to school. We didn't have a bus to bring it. We walked, and on the way to school, Miss Stone and Miss Balkins and Miss McGee, everybody would see you, and your mother would know that you was on your way to school. They'd talk on the phone, and when you was on your way home, they would always let them know when you was on your way home. They took care of you, and we don't have that anymore. I told you the village got burned down. But at the same time, charter schools are not for us. They're not for our children. They're not the best schools for us. Now, they have some charter schools, I got to admit, that are really good schools. But you have to be an exceptional student. You have to take a test to get in. And you have to use what they call the one-app program to make it make that school take you. And you can live uptown or downtown or in New Orleans, and you can go to that school. But it's not, education needs to be turned around. And all charter schools do, when they have bad superintendents, like White, Superintendent White was a state superintendent, they saw that he wasn't doing a good, they just move him to another state, and he does the same thing where he left in Louisiana, he brings to Florida or Georgia or wherever they place him. Charter school is about they're about money. And if little Johnny brings in, I'll say, $19.65 a day, that's what the state and puts into his education. And if little Johnny goes to school on September and he quits in December, the charter school still gets paid that 1967 through January to May, to when little Johnny's still not there anymore. So we have a problem. Hello?
Most certainly we do. And Senator Bagnus, I tell you, I'm so grateful for your sharing. We have our listeners. We want to let them know today that you are still connected to Facing Your Fears radio talk show, where the host is evangelist Norma Chapman, praise God, and I'm with her today, praise the Lord, along with Senator Bagnus on this great topic. And it's not just the issue in New Orleans, but as Senator Bagnus has said and we said earlier, it's throughout the country. It's everywhere. I've been in areas where I have seen certain areas you go in and you drive just 5 miles east or 5 miles west or 10 miles and you find a whole nother different world just that far, that short a distance apart. And it seems like you can get more assistance, more help in this area as opposed to what you're saying today, Senator Bagnus, as in New Orleans, as opposed to just right outside. And they're rebuilding and restoring. So it has. I'm thinking maybe the leaders would have to come together, the brokers would have to come together, and not just in a talk, but it has to be really some work done there so that some doors can be open to be able to gain the necessary financial stability or mental health facilities for the government or whatever has to be done.
All the stakeholders have to come to the table. And,
yes.
You know, just right across the lake from New Orleans, East, 7 miles, the 7 mile bridge, it slides down. Only place a lady can go to buy her a decent dress to wear till after 5 or something. You can't do that out here in New Orleans East. There's no stores like that. You know, they don't want us to have that because that would take away from that place right across the lake that we go to and spending our money. Or the restaurants, we got to go to Metairie or St. Bernard to eat, to have a family outing. And there's nothing here like that. And so we're caught between a rock and a hard place because nobody wants to come here.
And would you say a lot of these areas that, and I hear it here as well, I hear it here in Florida, Miami, different areas as well, a lot of businesses say, no, I'm not going in that area. The crime is too high. They are not doing anything to make it better. They don't have enough law enforcement. I've heard you say some of the very same things as you were sharing tonight. So a lot of people, a lot of businesses are saying, I'm not going in there to invest hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars and then to make nothing. And then in less than a year, I'm closed because of the people afraid to come in that area. So another thing that has to happen, too, is that the law enforcement has to pair up. They have to pair up and do studies and find out what's really happening in this area. Is it carjacking? Is it robbery? Why are the people not really coming here? Is it fear of them being hurt or, you know, and deal with that?
I understand that, too. But let me tell you, I work with Governor John Bel Edwards to have a stimulus economic development and by passing a 10-year tax zone, free zone in New Orleans East. That means that any business that locates in this poverty zone gets 10-year free tax. Why won't you come? What is the problem?
Wow.
I mean, I'm still working at it. I'm going to keep working because that's what I am about, the people. And my family, and we've always been public servants, and I continue to be that.
Yeah. And I also want to say, too, just quickly to our audience that are connected in, to Senator Bagnus, who's sincerely showing a desire, and I believe is going to put forth the effort as he's sharing today to help make a difference in New Orleans and wherever the soles of his feet shall tread, because I sense the sincerity in his voice, and that's the kind of leadership that we need. I also want to say to the listeners this evening that when he's saying that crazy, he's not speaking in a negative. That's the connotation that a lot of times that are placed out there, but he's not calling anyone crazy, because we know that mental illness is not a demotion, it's a sickness. It's not to put anybody down, but to help them.
Correct.
Because they need help. They need help, and to love them and support them and show them where they can get help. I'll say this, and I'm going to turn it back over to Evangelist. I had the opportunity to speak to a young man one day as I was coming from a business meeting, and he was standing on the side of the building, and I began to share with him, and I could tell from him talking that he had been somewhat in military, some type of services, Air Force, Army, what have you, what branch of service he was in. And he said to me, he said, you know what? People think you're crazy anyway, so why not just play the role? And I'm like, what? No, you're not. And I stared the same thing. I said, no, you're not. You're not crazy. He said, they're not going to help me. Nobody's going to help me, so I may as well just do what I do. I said, no, but you're not crazy. You have a sickness. And the question that he left with, he said, and where do I get help? Nobody wants to help us. We went and fought for the country. Nobody wants to help us. So they, you know, we definitely need, not just in New Orleans, but throughout the country, we need places so that those who want to put their lives on the line and whatever other mental illness, that they can get the help and not just be feel like they've been tossed away.
The systemic racism, you know, you can go back to the Tuskegee Airmen. You know, what they did for the country was not really recognized. How did they treat them afterwards? It shot them up with syphilis.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
mm-hmm.
I mean this is no different. When you come home today, they kick you to the curb, and then they don't want to even talk to you.
Right. So we just thank you so much, Senator Bagnus, for being our speaker here with us. And I want to yield back over to Evangelist Chapman, our visionary and host of Facing Your Fears, and also to you, our listeners, to let you know you too can press that number one and chime on in, ask a question, and share on this amazing topic as we discuss and listen to Senator Bagnus this evening, Evangelist Chapman.
Thank you, co-host. Today we are still tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show, and our topic for today is economic development and mental health in New Orleans East. As we know that a mental health issue is not only in New Orleans East, it's throughout the city of New Orleans. From my understanding, Mr. McNamara, is that you're running for a seat here in the city of New Orleans. Can you tell our listeners what that seat you're running at, what that you're seeking for that can help?
I'm seeking a seat in District E, which encompasses New Orleans East, the Lower Ninth Ward, and Lake Catherine area. I feel that I am the man. I am the person. I'm a proven leader. I've done everything I've done has been, everything I've done here in New Orleans has been because of the people. I want to serve. I've served already, and I want to come back and help the city that I love so much back into commerce, especially out here in New Orleans East in the Lower Ninth Ward.
Thank you. I just wanted to take the time out to share that because our listeners may be confused why we're having this topic on today, and that is the number one reason why former Senator Bagnaris, our state representative, former state representative John Bagnaris, are in the studio with us on today, and we pray that he can be make a difference here in the city of New Orleans, and we don't know, but it's in God's hands, and whoever God decides for that seat, we certainly are praying for all of the candidates that are running, that whoever would win that seat, that they will bring a change to the city of New Orleans. Also, Mr. Bagnaris, we want to take the time out to thank you for coming in on the show on today. Is there anything that you want to say in your closing statement to our listeners on today?
I just have one thing to say, and that is I will never embarrass you, the city of New Orleans, District E, nor my family. And that's why I put it in God's hand, and then whatever the outcome may be is what he wants it to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We certainly appreciate that, and I am praying that God will put someone in that will be able to help our citizens here in the city of New Orleans, especially in the communities around the New Orleans East area. I pray that God will bring a change. We need more stores. I remember when I first moved out here, we had the East Shopping Center, and we had different individuals. They can go and buy their shirts, outfits, and hats or whatever, and more opportunities to shop. You know, it's far from the houses now, and you have to go over on the East Bank or over Michigan River or the Slidell. People go as far as Baton Rouge because we don't have the stores here. And the ones that's open, they hide because of the fact that, you know, I don't know why, you know they're the only stores that you can go to for the merchandise supplies 3% more than what, you know, it would normally be.
Yes.
But we pray that God will put someone in that can make a difference in our city. And co-host at this time, I mean, I'm going to ask Mr. Bagnaris to give some information on how you can contact him after the show. And I know that the numbers has not been given out yet, so he cannot share that with you. But he can give a closing statement at this time and give out information how he can be reached after the show.
Okay. I'm John Bagnaris for citycouncil.com. You can also hit me at John@BagnarisForCityCouncil.com. I also have a Twitter account with Bagnaris John, and my number is 504-905-1474. And my Facebook page is John Bagnaris City Council.
And Mr. Bagnaris, I understand that your brother once served as a judge in the city in New Orleans, civil judge. Am I correct?
Yes, my brother Michael was a civil judge, and my brother Dennis was in the Court of Appeal.
All right. So there we have it, listeners. Mm-hmm. And at this time, we're going to let our co-host come and share how you can contact her and the other blessings that God has stored in her life. Her other talk show, she can get some information about herself and how you can tune in to her prayer line. Co-host.
Good evening. I just want to share with you all, I am the host of the Power Hour line of Inspiration and Motivation International, where we meet every Tuesday morning and Thursday morning, 5 a.m., speakers globally from around the world to break the bread of life, to share inspiration, encouragement, motivation, You can connect in with us at 712-775-7031, and the access code is 710-569 and the pound sign. We're on Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, both at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and noonday prayer every Wednesday from 12 to 1. God bless you. You can also connect with me on Facebook, on the Doris Smith, Instagram, same thing. God bless you all.
Thank you. And as always, listeners, you know, you can contact me through my email, Norma, that's N-O-R-M-A, all lowercase letters, underscore Chapman, at yahoo.com. You can visit our Facebook page, Facing Your Fears, Facebook page, What Faith Can Do, Facebook page, To Be Friends in Christ, or my page, Norma Chapman. As always, we'll be glad to have you. If you're interested in coming on the show, being a guest, just give us a holler or give me a call. There's information on my website, how you can contact me. And we'll be happy to have you to come in and share what God has given you to share to the people. And we just detoured away from our regular show, which we do a lot of biblical episodes here on Facing Your Fears. And our passion is domestic violence coming from behind the mask, whatever situation you may be facing, mental health, domestic violence, alcohol, whatever hang-ups that you have, or whatever environment that you're living in, you don't see your way out. We know that God is the answer, and we do have so many guests that come on and share their stories. So many authors have been on Facing Your Fears that shared their stories. We're still here for you today. Just give us a call. We'll be happy to bring you on live to tell your testimony where God has brought you from. So at this time now, we're going to hear for our closing prayer. Our co-host will bring us into our closing prayer. And I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in on today. Thank our special guest, Mr. John Bagnaris, for coming on Facing Your Fears and sharing and pouring out his heart to the listeners on today that live in the area where you can vote for him if that's your desire to have him as your next councilman here in the city of New Orleans. And as always, we love you. We want to hear from you. We're happy that you tuned in every Thursday, that you stay loyal to and supportive to our radio talk show. Keep me in prayer. And we want to remember all of the people that are suffering through the pandemic at this time, those on the ventilator, families that are suffering financially. We know that God is able, and at this time, we're going to have our co-host come with our closing prayer.
Lord, we just thank you today once more and again. As we come to the close of the topic today with Senator Bagnaris, with our amazing visionary of Facing Your Fears radio talk show, and all our awesome listeners, we are truly grateful. We're grateful, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you continue to do. We thank you for touching the hearts across the world, including Senator Bagnaris today, to bring information that could make a difference in the lives of all the listeners and those that don't only hear it, but applied and come a part of the solution and not the problem. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We pray that your hand of blessings will be upon your people, that you will continue to lead them and guide them. Where they're down, lift them up. Where they're discouraged, encourage them. Lord, where they're heavy, take every weight off of them. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, giving you all the honor, glory, and the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray and say, amen.
Amen. Amen.
And there you have it, listeners. We want to thank you again for tuning in. And we would love to see you in the studio again on next Thursday. We'll have a new special guest coming forth on next week with another awesome topic. God bless you. And God love you and thank you. Goodbye now. This is the end of the show.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.